Good morning, everyone. Well, this sanctuary looks slightly different than it did yesterday. The only vestiges left are back here. It was quite a day. I thought about coming up with a headdress on this morning. Those that were at the wedding, wondering how that might affect things. If you're not really knowing what I'm talking about, the wedding of Guamucho and Jocelyn was quite a cultural event as two cultures came together for a couple to get ready to take the good news of the gospel from the nations to the nations and learn how to live together. So it was quite a day. Quite a celebration, quite a celebration of the impact of the young adult ministry, really. And just amazing to be part of that. Well, today's message is an approach for a new year. And, you know, last year was quite a year, and the year ahead is quite a year, I think, as well. This coming weekend, it almost feels like a collision. You have Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and there'll be a message on that next week. There's Martin Luther King, the inauguration coming up, and all those fun tensions and all those things. So it's probably a good time to stop and pray a prayer that we talked about last week. And so let's pray together. Father, for this reason and the reasons we've talked about, but really the reasons of your sovereignly choosing us to be your children and your family, we bow our knees before you this morning. You are the Father from whom all the families of earth and heaven derive their name. And we ask you to strengthen us according to the power that you have. Ask you to strengthen us in the inner man and strengthen us by your power, by your spirit, that we could comprehend the love that Christ has for us, the height, the depth, the width, the breadth, that Christ would dwell in us by faith, and that we would experience the fullness of God that is ours to apprehend, is ours to draw into, to lean into. And Father, we pray that the fullness of God would be evident among us. And Father, for those who come in among us that don't know you, that the result would be that they would say, surely God is among you. And there would be a hunger for them, a hunger for us to step into this year in ways that would be in step with you, that you would find a settled dwelling place among us as an assembly, among us as families, among us as individuals. So I entrust us to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the last message in the first half of the book of Ephesians. I encourage you to turn to the book of Ephesians. And we've been looking in Ephesians for quite a long time now, these foundational truths of God's sovereign choice of us, of the situation we were in, and how he's taken us out of that situation and placed us into his body. And he wants to dwell with us, and he's preparing a place for us to dwell with him eternally. And it's all people, all tribes, tongues, nations being brought together into the body of Christ. And at the end of this, we didn't look closely at Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 last week. We really were in 14 and 19. But as we get into Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, thinking about an approach for a new year, it's a time to stop and evaluate. Last week we talked about a prayer for a new year. This morning we're going to talk about an approach for a new year. And I need to warn you, this is a big picture kind of message, so buckle up. You're going to be invited into some discussions that we as a staff have had, into thinking about this question of not just the time to stop and evaluate, but this question: how do you, meaning God, want me to live this year? I believe it's important to take times to stop and evaluate. I mean, people make New Year's resolutions, but sometimes they make those resolutions based on a very small picture. Well, I want to exercise this year. I want to lose weight. But this is an invitation to go into a much bigger picture discussion, asking God the question, how do you want me as your child to approach my life this year? What changes need to take place? I've had the benefit of my life changing many different times. And I particularly remember one time we had finished with a church in Guyana and we were starting a new church. And it was all like, okay, we can figure this out again. And I can remember sitting before the Lord and saying, how do you want me to approach life? Okay, it's a new operation here. How do you want us to approach it? And we ended up approaching things very differently in the last church plant that we did to the ones before. But more than that, I changed the way I approach life in that time, and I'm forever grateful for some of the changes that took place. So I think it's very healthy to stop, whether it's at the beginning of a new year or some other change that's taking place, and just say to the Lord, how do you want me to live my life? Well, as we get into this, I want to read a quote from The Master Plan of Evangelism by Dr. Robert Coleman. The Master Plan of Evangelism is a little book. I've read it in Bible college. It was actually produced in the 60s, and in my understanding of carrying out the Great Commission, aside from the Bible, it's probably the most influential book I've ever read. And I'd encourage you to read it. But in the introduction, good students, by the way, read introductions, right? They don't jump right in. In the introduction, it says this: philosophers, wrote Karl Marx, have only interpreted the world differently. The point is, however, to change it. However, unlike they are in fundamental affirmation, the Christian gospel and communism are at this point in agreement. But the agreement goes little further. Distinctively, the church proclaims the changed world as a consequence of changed men. Reflective man produces new philosophies as it only generates man who holds a clue to a society that is really new. And in other words, philosophers try to understand the world, but the point is to change it, not just to understand it, but to change it. And Marx got that right to a point, but his way of changing it was not by people with new hearts. He had other ways of changing it. But the point is, Christ has called us to a type of life that is transformative, that changes us and then changes our world around us, wherever that world happens to be. If you get a chance to ever read Master Plan of Evangelism, it has a lot to say in it. But thinking about change, God wants to bring about change because our world is not the way he intends it to be. Well, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, now to him who is able, it would be helpful if I got there. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. And we'll get to verse 21 after a while. But I highlighted a couple words there because those words are where we're going to focus our attention. And we're going to focus our attention first on what do you ask? As you pray, as you think about life, what do you ask? And I'm taking you to the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, Matthew 6, and thinking about this. A Lord's Prayer asks, as you approach a new year, as you approach a new day, what do you ask? Jesus taught us, our Father who's in heaven, holy be your name. Right? Do you start out in thinking about these things by asking the questions about how do I set apart the name of the Lord? How is his name set apart in my life? How is that reflected in the way I think, in the way I speak, in the way I act? Is that a focal point for you? Or is it about making a name for yourself? Which is it? I think it's really one of those two. It's either making a name for yourself, or it's about his name, which leads to his kingdom. Whose kingdom are you building? Is it your kingdom, or is it his? And this word kingdom, I mean, it has a lot inside of it, and we could just go on and on and on about kingdom, and some people with different theological persuasions will understand it differently and all that. But I ran across this from Tony Evans, and I'm going to share this. You can agree or disagree, but it's certainly something to think about. The kingdom agenda is defined as the visible manifestation of the comprehensive rule of God over every area of life. The church has been given the unique responsibility and authority to usher in this agenda in history. And there's much more to what Tony has put together on this, but one of the points of it is, if we're going to see true racial reconciliation in this country, it's going to come out of the gospel. It's not going to come out of churches becoming political. It's going to come out of churches that build relationships across racial lines. I had the privilege of talking to a couple different individuals yesterday that are influential in churches in the city. And the one fellow said to me, you know, we need to get lunch and we need to sit down. We need to talk together. Because this agenda, if we're in the gospel, we should not be separated, right? If we're in the gospel, we should not be separated. And this agenda, I've thought about this a lot through the years. You know, sometimes Christians have their own private little relationship with the Lord, but it seems to have no effect where they live, where they work, where they play. It seems to have no effect on their workplace. It seems to have no effect where they go. You know, Jocelyn was working, if I understand right, the district magistrate's office, and she was loved there. Judge Jody was here yesterday. You know, and Jocelyn's impact on that office, you know, how can you measure that? As you live out the gospel, it should permeate wherever the Lord takes you. It's not for us as a church to suddenly become political and start marches and do all that. But it's for us as a people to desire the kingdom of God that rules and reigns in our hearts to show up wherever we show up. And to show up first with an attitude that's reflected in the Beatitudes. You know, it's not showing up so that you can just drive home your agenda, but that you first reflect Christ in the way you carry yourself. Reflect Christ in what happens when you don't get what you want. A kingdom agenda. I ran across this quote in an article in World Magazine that said this: dominion generates creativity, innovation, order, and plenty. I'll read it again. Dominion, meaning the rule of God, generates creativity, innovation, order, and plenty. And can be lived, and can be lived out anywhere. You want an illustration? Daniel. He served in administrations that were ungodly, pagan, and he survived changes of leadership, even when those changes of leadership meant a different country took over, and he survived. I love it. It says, Daniel answered with wisdom and tact. May we be that kind of people. That when we're put in hard situations, we know how to answer with wisdom and tact. Well, our concern being for his name, his kingdom, his will. I believe it's a battle that happens every day of our lives. And the battle is, whose will? His or mine? I hope that's a battle that you let the Lord win every morning Maybe even before you get out of bed. Maybe these thoughts should be in your mind before you get out of bed. Father, today is starting this day, and I want it to be about your name, not mine. I want it to be about your kingdom, not mine. I want it to be about your will, not mine. What you think about when you first get up in the morning, most people, if you ask them what they think about when they first wake up, the fog starts to lift. Some days that takes longer than others. I realize that. But maybe what you think about, it's about the time you get in the shower. Most people, what they think about is, what do I have to do today? Can you set that aside and have what you think about first be His name, His kingdom, His will? What do you think about? He can do more abundantly than all we ask or think. And that's where we're going next. What is it that you think about? What is it that you think about? And the Lord's Prayer, if you continue on, give us this day our daily bread. You know, this is getting into the topic of need. What do you think you need? What do you ask for? What do you believe is that you need? How do you define need? You know, one of the blessings of the Christian life is interacting with people in different settings. And I hope, and we try to shepherd in such a way that we have large settings like this. We have small settings and places where people are really known and cared for. That's part of what we try to accomplish. And, you know, the leaders need to be there too. And I have a small group on Monday night. And one night we were focusing on Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. And someone else was leading. And I was sitting there and thinking, and I don't know that I'd ever thought about it this way before. You know, if I'm concerned for the name of the Lord, the kingdom of the Lord, and the will of the Lord, when I present my needs, God will give me what I need to accomplish His will. Do you believe that? It just kind of was clarified. Sometimes it's really helpful if you sit and listen instead of talk all the time, right? I just remember that night going, wow, God will provide for me what I need to accomplish His will if I'm concerned about His name, His kingdom, and His will. An influential thinker for me on how we approach things with regard to how we define need is Randy Pope. This is a quote from him. Need, encompassing all resources required to live faithfully and fruitfully for the kingdom of God. You know, if you're not focused on living faithfully and fruitfully for the kingdom of God, you're probably going to find a Christian life very frustrating. Because you'll see these promises of God, and you ask, and it doesn't seem like it works out. Because you're not asking according to His name. You're not asking according to His will. You're not asking for His kingdom. It's a change of thought. As I've thought about this, I love what it says in 2 Corinthians. And I ask you to turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I have there it comes. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm actually going to read a couple more verses than what's up there on the slide. It's verses 6 through 10. And if you're not familiar with these verses, I want to challenge you to become familiar with these verses because they're driving home this point of God's supply if you're tied into doing His will. The point is this, verse 6. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And maybe you're familiar with some of those verses. But the next part, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And sometimes people struggle to know, what's God's will? Struggle to know. And, you know, should I be doing a particular thing? Well, a lot of God's will is in here, right? But, you know, it doesn't show up in, you know, it's one of the things I've been praying about. Should I take a team to Haiti the end of February? They've been asking for the last year for us to come. We're building a relationship with the church there and ministry in the Northwest. And should I go? And I've had several people who knew I was praying with me, and several of them said, I want to go along. Years ago, I was talking to a young man, and he was invited on a missions trip, and he and I were talking. He said, I don't know if I should go. His name was Jimmy. I said, Jimmy, why don't you do this? Why don't you try to go, because God is able to stop you? Do you believe that? If you're not sure about the will of God on something, but you know, you're just kind of at a crossroads, why don't you try to step out and see what happens? Because God is able to stop you. In Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul, he's trying to go into various places, and the Spirit of God kept saying no, and then led him with a vision to go into Philippi. God is able to stop you, and God is able to lead you when you step out. So I gave that counsel to Jimmy, and he ended up stepping out, and he ended up going to Germany and missions trip and all those kinds of things. But the problem was, I had to follow my own advice, and I ended up in Thailand with Ron Hum. I had told him no, and I had to follow my own advice. And I've been reflecting on that advice recently. It sounds like a bad idea to travel and take some guys and go to Haiti. That sounds like a really bad idea. But the people on the ground there are saying, if you want to come, this is the time frame, February 26th and into early March, that's going to be a good time to go. So, by faith, we're stepping out. Ask you to pray for us on that. There's four of us going. And you'll probably hear more about that if the Lord opens the way and we go. How do you know if you don't try? If you sit back and say, gee, I don't know if that's the Lord's will, and you do nothing, how do you know? Is it safe? That's a different question. That's a different question. The question is it the will of God? And, of course, if you were to continue on with the illustration from the Apostle Paul, he ends up in Philippi. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But this, do you believe that God will supply what you need to accomplish his will? Do you believe that? I really think that's at the center of a lot of fear and hesitation, is this mentality of lack. God doesn't lack anything. He says, if I needed something, I wouldn't ask you. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. If I needed something, it's not like he's a beggar. It's not like he doesn't have everything to supply. I believe the biggest thing that God is looking for is people who are sold out to his name, his kingdom, his will, and trusting him to provide. That's what he's looking for. And the rest of the Lord's Prayer, he's a forgiving God. We're to be forgiving people. He's a protecting God. We're to seek his protection, and we're to bring honor and glory to him. You know, that's how we should be praying. That's how we should be approaching life and fitting in the details of our life. Well, this Verse 20, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. And we talked about that power last week and experiencing his strength. But really this question, as we're working through this message, what do you believe God wants you to experience? And maybe you think about that for right now. Maybe the Lord has some things in front of you that you just can't see your way through. I'm going to mention a few as we go along. But there's a requirement here. To experience what God wants to experience, it requires that you live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith is going to show up in small steps, in choices. And years ago, I heard a man say that faith is a muscle to be exercised, and the trials of life are the gymnasium. And God wants to call us to become strong in faith, because that's what it takes to please God. Well, I've been talking about Haiti, and you know, we're seeking to build a relationship, and we've been building a relationship for the last couple of years, kind of church to church, and you'll be hearing some more about that, where instead of a missionary and a church, it's church to church. We have a team on the ground there that includes a missionary, and kind of in the background, and a Pastor Yvonne and Pastor Novam and this particular church. Now, this was at night. This was when we were there. So this wasn't too bad. But imagine if you were meeting during the daytime in that building, and it's 95 degrees and the sun is blazing. And by the way, you didn't see the picture of the people sitting outside that can't fit inside the building. So they have a building need, and they have a building plan, and that's how far they have it. And one of the things that we've been doing is working with them. They have plans for what they'd like us to do when we're there. But the other thing that you've heard some about, and kind of a by faith thing that happened, they have no water. They have 400 kids in the school, 2,700 people in the village, and they have no water. So money was given to help them celebrate their 50th anniversary to build a cistern, and this is a picture of it. I don't have the finished product picture yet, but, you know, these folks have real needs. We have our needs as well, and we'll talk about them. But this question of stepping out, allowing the Lord to stretch us, you know, I've thought about this. How do we build a reciprocal relationship with these folks in Haiti? Okay, they're never going to give us money. That's a one-way street. What do we learn from them? And I've said this before. They know how to pray. And by the way, they pray for us. And they know how to live by faith. They have no other choice, right? We have choices. I think we can learn something from them. But you know, what do you believe that God wants you to experience? And what's a desired result? What is it that God wants from us? And, you know, in the context of giving, what's God want from us? I love this verse from Philippians 4:17. Many people know 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or 4:19, where, you know, God will supply according to his riches and glory. But verse 17, I think, is an important verse. It's an important verse for leadership. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Why do we shepherd the way we do? You know, when you stand before the Lord, it's our heart desire as an elder team that you would have a life that God has rewarded. A life where you've grown in faith, and it's impacted everything, how you spend your time, what you do with your finances, what's the focus of your life, that it impacts everything, and that you have fruit that increases to your account. You know, in conclusion, this question, several questions here. The first one is, how does this apply to Millersville Bible Church? There's some other questions we'll look at. How does it apply to your family? How do you apply it personally? You know, we as a church have a building need as well. Our country's got racial issues. Our country's got political issues. Our country has issues with, sanctity of human life. Haiti has issues. Our church, you know, we believe that we need to have increased space to accomplish everything. After that meeting that I talked about, I just spent time before the Lord, and I started praying something. I want to invite you to pray it with me. If the Lord doubled the income of Millersville Bible Church in 2021, we'd build this building with no problem. Can God do that? You're awake. Can God do that? Yeah. Will you commit to praying with me? We have no idea how God would provide for us. But it just struck me, if our income was doubled as a church this year, we'd build this building no problem. Wouldn't that be cool? So why don't we pray that way? I've invited you to a number of things to pray for. The team coming up, all that. As I've thought about this, I've thought, is the building program we're doing here simply a training ground for the greater things God has for us for the future? Is he trying to train us as a church and using this thing that's right in front of us so we would learn to walk by faith for the greater things he has in front of us that have nothing to do with a building and everything to do with impacting our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth? Is he putting something in front of us that we have to tackle and learn to walk by faith in ways we've not for the other things he would call us to? You know, I believe that Millersville Bible Church is a developing army for the gospel. And what he wants to do with that, I am excited to see. You can pray for us as an elder team. We have a workshop this weekend, you know, trying to understand what the Lord's doing and how he wants us to move forward. You know, how does this apply to your family? How does this apply to you personally? Take some time to ask God the question, how do you want me to approach the life you've given to me this year? I wanted to allow some time for us to spend quietly and reflectively on that. I just spoke too much. So we're about out of time, but I hope you will take the time to really be before the Lord. Okay, you know, pray for Millersville Bible Church. You know, pray for us as to how the Lord would have us approach this building program. Pray for the church in Haiti and that God would provide for them this year a building that they wouldn't have to meet in the sun. Pray for those of us who are planning to go. You know, these greater things God has ahead for us, they might not look like a bigger church. They might not look like bigger buildings. For the Apostle Paul, the greater things, he ended up in prison. And in that prison, he prayed and thanked God, and God tore the jail apart, and they chose to stay because of their great concern for the jailer. And God planted a church there that became very precious to the Apostle Paul. The greater things God has ahead for you, if you look at Hebrews 11, you better buckle up. The greater things might not be exactly the way you'd like to see them. It might not look like prosperity. It might look like trouble. But the credit to your account, for which you'll be eternally grateful. Well, there's another desired result, not just the result of credit to your account, but this result. And this is the overarching result. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. This is the heart's cry of the book of Ephesians, that all of this together would bring glory to God and to Christ Jesus throughout all generations on earth and forever. Let's pray. Father, we're asking you a question, whether it's as an elder team, whether it's as a church as a whole, whether it's as families, whether it's as a missionary team, whether it's as individuals, this question: how do you want us to approach this year? How do you want us to change the way we approach things, to change what we ask for, to change what we think about, to change what we experience? So we just entrust this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day.